Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. My name is Daryl Urbanski, your host as always. And today we are joined by Fernalyn Rose Sawal, a dynamic force in business strategy, entrepreneurship, and organizational development. Fernalyn is the founder of the Greenlight Project Solar Philippines. She boasts extensive experience in energy, BPO, real estate, retail, and financial services. As a Lean Six Sigma Black Belt, Clifton Strength Coach, and DISC Certified Facilitator, she excels in talent management, strategic planning, and leadership development. An executive MBA graduate from Quantic School of Business and Technology, Fern is passionate about sustainability. I've asked her to join us here today to share her journey and insights on creating an impactful change in organizations and communities. So Fernalyn, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
Thank you, Daryl, for that introduction. I'm good. I hope you're doing fine as well. And I'm happy to be here with all of you.
And we were joking before about I changed my shirt. So if you're listening and not watching, we got the same background and now we both have white shirts. So team colors. Now, before we get into this, obviously you've got a very great background, very well-trained, great track record. How did you even get into business? Do you come from a family of entrepreneurs? Are you following in your parents' footsteps?
Not at all, Daryl. I don't have any idea about business before. The opportunity just opened up to me and I took the risk. And now I'm here.
Wow. Got it. So can you walk us through your career? How did you get started? You just had all the skills that you needed and you're like, ta-da, I'm here. Or what was the first step and then the second step?
Sure. My first job was actually a teacher. I was a faculty teacher in high school. But obviously in the Philippines, teachers don't get paid much. So I had to look for another job that would still give me an opportunity to teach, but at the same time, you know, I'd still be able to support my family because I was the breadwinner. Yeah, I got into training and now organizational development and now an entrepreneur.
Wow. So what can you explain? When you say you got into organizational development, what does that mean? It sounds like you first, by being a teacher, you knew how to teach, but not just teach, you knew how to learn. And then you got into training and then organizational development. So what does that mean? And how did you get into organizational development? What is that?
Learning and development is also part of OD in a lot of ways. And the way I see it, it's like strategic HR, like how do you strategize internally? How do you drive the business internally using data? What needs does the organization have based on the data? So yeah, so it's very much related to learning and organizational learning and development. And I love math, I love data. So I believe I'm in the right career. And now I'm exploring the world of entrepreneurship. There's really a lot to learn. And I can say I'm just really passionate about learning and how I can improve myself every day.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. I think that's part of why we're here. We're here to learn and grow. I had this thought one night, if I have an immortal soul, or even if I achieve immortality via technology, it doesn't matter. But so, because some people, that's what they think, right? We're going to have some sort of technological breakthrough and now humans can live forever, essentially, as long as we don't get squished. In either case, you're talking about an immortal timeline, either your soul's immortal timeline or your immortal timeline. And I thought, an immortal timeline, what would be the trophies that I would value if I was immortal? What would be the things, the accomplishments, the proud moments? Over thousands, tens of thousands, millions of years, what would I put on the mantle? What would I put up on the wall? And I love that perspective, that frame of view, because I think it helps put things in perspective. We know that we're all going to die eventually. As far as we know, no one has escaped life yet.
Yeah.
So it's not really a question of if I'm going to die. It's going to be will I die and what will I have done before then? And I think that's a really powerful and important thing for people to think about, because it's really easy for us to get caught up in the little the economy this or this, these things that happen. And in 5,000 years, they're not going to matter. So I love you. You described organizational development as strategic HR, which I think is great. And then you did Six Sigma and even your MBA. What are some of the most important learnings you feel you've discovered through those?
My discovery is really there's a lot to learn. Like you can always achieve more and you can always do things in a better way. You can widen your perspective about your realities, the world. You can really learn a lot from these experiences.
And so, what would you recommend to someone who's listening to this that maybe is struggling and starting out, maybe even like yourself? They're a winner, and they've got kids to take care of, and there's only so many hours in a day. What would you recommend to someone who's starting and struggling out, or struggling or starting out right now?
I'd recommend to just really take the first step, and it all starts with your mindset, like your perspective on a lot of things. And if you think that you can do it, then you can do it. You can take that first step, and the rest would be much, very much easier. So just don't be afraid. Have that courage to take that first step. And I like to quote, I forgot who said this, but sometimes the best transportation is a leap of faith.
I love that. I think that's really powerful. I love that's really
It
powerful.
is.
What were some of the biggest challenges that you faced in your career, and how did you overcome those? How did you find the leap of faith?
In my career now, the biggest challenge for me is really balancing a lot of responsibilities because aside from working, I'm also working on the business and I also take care of my kids. So it's really hard to have a career and at the same time be human, take care of all the stuff, all the everyday stuff at home. So it's easy, it's really difficult to handle all these things all at the same time. That's the biggest challenge. And what you mentioned earlier, value education and learning. And I love the work that I do. I love learning, but again, nothing compares to the little moments with the kids,
Yes.
with your family.
Yeah, she's talking about at the time of this recording a week ago, my daughter and her nanny were hit by a truck at an intersection. So I understand you're talking about the little details because I'm first off, my daughter's okay. She has some bruises and stuff. The nanny has just got out of the hospital yesterday. So everyone's going to live and everyone's going to be okay. And now it's more just adjusting, I guess you could say, to the new normal, so to
Yes.
speak. And talking about the little balancing kids and business, we had a really good thing going where our nanny, she was meal prepping based off of my nutritional plan, and she handled the cooking and some of the errands and the cleaning and stuff. And so it was all designed so I could have days of deep work, and my wife as well. And then it was deep work and family time and gym or whatever. And that's gone. So that's gone. So we're 2 days into, and I think we're doing okay though, because we did it. This is your interview, so I want to shut up quickly here. But we did 2.5 years in Vietnam with a child, and us got caught during COVID, and it was just us trying to juggle and balance it. And I think they say necessity is the mother of invention. And I think that where there's a will, there's a way. And I think when maybe you're single, people listen to this, if they don't have kids yet, all this productivity stuff and time management stuff, I laugh when I have single friends that talk about it, because you have no idea what time management is if you don't have kids. Because you wake up, your whole day is for you. You do not realize how much of your time is wasted and your energy and how. So I'm speaking about myself. I didn't realize how much of my time I squandered on, but Jim Rohn used to say, don't major in minor things. And an example that he gave was in sales, and he was like, making lists of prospects, that's minor time. Driving to the prospect's house, that's minor time. In the presence with your prospect, that's major time in the presence of them. So people that don't have kids don't realize how much of their days, and you really have to start, you understand the power of decision making, of judgment, and of building a team. It's impossible to raise a child without a team. It's impossible. Even if you're a single parent, you still develop a team. And I think that's a business success is a team sport. And so just to speak to that, balancing kids and business, for people that don't get it, a lot of business owners wear all the hats. You have to learn to prioritize, systemize, and delegate effectively. And I just want to put that out there because I'm a little pat on the back here. I'm showing up to this call clean shaven, haircut, but we've been without a nanny for a week now and had an endless parade of people coming through the house with fruits and stuff to check in and how the family's doing. And I think because of that experience, we just reverted back to that. And so it's not been difficult. But if you're new to it, it's like a new muscle. You're super sore. You do 10 push-ups the next day, you feel like you've been beaten up. I don't know what it's like to be a mom. And I know, especially in the early years, a dad is more like an accessory than a necessity. Like it's all about mom and breastfeeding in the early days. I was very shocked. But in terms of building your business, your solar business, staying on top of what's happening in the industry, being a mom as well, what do you believe are some, and I of course you already mentioned the importance of learning, but what do you believe are specific skills or behaviors that are important to improve and develop specifically?
Specific skills, I think you have to have that learning mindset. You have to be open to new ideas. You have to humble yourself, especially if you know that you've already learned a lot. So it's important that you keep that humility in you. And I believe responsibility over what's happening, how you respond to things is also important. And courage, really. I know a lot of people who are very talented who might be more knowledgeable in business than I am, but I believe it really the key difference is the courage to take a step, to do the difficult things,
Yes, to get it done.
to get it done.
To get it done. I love that. What does that look like in terms of habits? Daily, weekly? What does that look like in terms of habits?
Like this. sometimes you won't have time really to fix yourself physically because you're thinking about like, how do I move this forward? Who it's important to you that you also know who to talk to. Okay, who do I delegate this into? Because you're juggling a lot of responsibilities and you want to move things forward. It's hard to do it alone, right? You have ideas. I'm pretty sure a lot of business owners are very intelligent and full of ideas, but if you do not know how to implement it, find someone who can, or find someone who knows how to implement it. And it's really difficult to thrive in a business if you don't have a support system, not only in business, but personally, especially if you're juggling a lot of responsibilities, you're a single parent, you have to have a community of support around you. Okay, so it's important that you don't forget also your personal responsibilities while you're trying to achieve your goals in career.
I think time management, energy management, creating systems, that's all, and like you mentioned, having a team is all really important stuff. I wrote down as you were talking, brainstorm, research, prototype, final build, because you made me think of the engineering process. When engineers engineer something, that's typically the four-step process they go through. They brainstorm. What's the problem? What are solutions? They research them all. Then they do a lot of prototyping. They spend a lot of time prototyping and doing, like most people think about a minimum viable product. Engineers do minimum viable.
Products, correct.
They do products. They do 100 different versions and take the time to try attacking the problem, for lack of a better term, multiple different ways. And then they take their learnings and they put that into the final build. And I think for a lot of business owners, that's where they get stuck is for some of them, they're just trying to replace the boss. They're trying to have more freedom and autonomy, but they don't realize what they're taking on when they jump into running a business because now you are the head dishwasher. You are the
Yes.
one that mops the floor at night. You're the accountant and the sales rep and the administrator and the bookkeeper and the customer service rep. And so I
The
feel like
list goes on.
Yeah, it's really important for business owners to separate the research and development part of their business with the almost the assembly line part. I forget who said it, but there's a quote. I think it was one of the steel barons from the United States, and he had said, most entrepreneurs are constantly laying down new train track. They're looking for more places to lay down train track. They just want to build more and more train track. Where I just want a length of train track between two busy cities, and I want to have trains busy on it all day long. And that's a difference. So I think there's the brainstorm research prototype phase, and then there's the standardization of what you're doing and creation of packages, because that allows you to better delegate and predict and all that sort of stuff. That's what I got when you talked about that. When you're talking about the first, you got to get your mindset, your perspective right to be open to new ideas and things. And even when you're talking about strategic HR, a lot of that is related, right?
Systems, yes.
Because if you don't know what someone has to do, that's a lot of people. They hire someone, they need help, they hire them, and they just show up. What do you do? And they just give them the job title and expect the person to know how it's supposed to be done, how to do it, where all the resources required are, how long it should take, what standards it should be done to. And that's just creates a lot of friction for everyone. Where do you see? So you're in solar right now. Can you speak to that? What's happening in solar? Why solar?
Why solar? Because here in the Philippines, I believe there are still a lot of communities that don't have proper lighting. Even in the cities, right? You'd drive on roads that are unlit
Yeah.
at night, and it's very dangerous, right? Because we have families waiting for us and accidents are there. Why not adopt like solar technology to address that problem? So we're not only addressing a big issue, but we're also tackling a bigger issue, which is climate change, right?
Yes, there's a lot of debate that can be a bit of a controversial topic, depending if you talk about climate change. But it's irrefutable to say that there's two things I think that are in the best interest of everyone and are undeniable. Like you mentioned, trying to make places safer for people, especially at night. And I also think that empowering people to be more independent. I think a lot of people are in subscription hell. They're paying rent or a mortgage, and they're paying an electric bill, and they're paying a water bill, and they're paying their car payment, car insurance, got to pay gas, and they got a gym membership, and they're on for the kids' school fees, and they got this. It's just subscription hell. Whereas with
That's true.
solar, you're buying something that you own, and as long as you maintain it, it'll produce for you. Just like I've got two papaya trees in my yard, I do nothing for them, and yet once a month or so, our nanny would be bringing me fresh papaya, and I'm like, wow, that's. I just have a tree in my yard, and now I get free food a couple times a month for just letting them use space I don't use. Wow, it's great. Rain, God is good.
Yes, exactly. If
Yeah.
more people could get to know how they can benefit from solar energy, because again, you can get free unlimited energy from the sun, right? And it's impossible to have to not have the sun.
Right.
Like we
Yeah.
cannot have life without the sun. So
Right. Yeah.
it's only practical to switch to solar energy because
Right.
you can be sure that as long as you live, it's there.
I'm a fan. I've got a bunch of solar panels myself. Can you speak to that? Is there a big adjustment for people, or can they just live life normally with solar?
They can just live life normally. It's just really as easy as having someone installed the system for you, and that's it. You won't have anything to worry about anymore. Yeah, it's less maintenance, or actually, most of our clients have zero maintenance. Get calls for upgrades and referrals.
That's a good business to be in. Yeah, I think it's great. I'm beating the drum. I feel in some ways lied to. I feel like a lot of people, if they're not asking questions about if they're being lied to or not by media, mainstream media, I don't know what you should. I pray for you, because after since COVID, I think it'd be really difficult to not feel betrayed some way, shape, or form by some form of mainstream institution, whether it's media or it's some sort of government agency. There's a lot of people questioning everything. And I also feel like we've had, I'm not using calculus, I'm not using algebra. I think it's important to learn history, but nobody told me, hey, learn how to run a successful small business, own your own piece of land in your home, set up a couple of simple systems like solar, like rainwater, have a couple of chickens, and you're good. I have an aunt in Canada who got medically assisted suicide because she was getting older and in pain and was afraid she wasn't going to be able to afford to live long without becoming a burden to her family to have them take care of her. And so she opted in Canada for medically assisted suicide. And yet, if someone had told her in school, hey, learn how to run a successful small business, own a piece of land and a house on it, have some simple systems like solar and rainwater and maybe a couple chickens and some food crops. You're not trying to replace your entire grocery bill, but all of a sudden, when you own all that stuff, you're free. And that's not taught in any school. And it's great. I learned algebra. Not using it right now. I'm hungry. It's great. Learned algebra. Not using it right now. I need some power to do this interview. I really feel betrayed in a lot of ways. I'm hoping for a renaissance and renewal. I hope we're entering a new golden age where we throw off the parasites. I really am turning this into the Listen Darryl talk show, but where we throw off the parasites and the false presumptions. The whole education system was, it's designed to create factory workers, not people that are learning how to survive. Chairs are assembled in assembly line rows. Your breaks are announced by a factory bell. The teacher gives you a quality control card. That's all from assembly line systems, which were also based off of, it was even Persian or Peruvian military training systems. There was an emperor who had lost a war and he realized if he didn't regroup his army fast, he would be overthrown and taken. And he created a training system to create people for specific roles in the military. And that's became the foundation for our education system. And it maybe it's just been the best we've had until now. But for everyone listening to this, whether you work with Fernilin or not, you need to get yourself some solar. You need to be power independent. You need to figure out how to run a small business. You need to listen to this interview and maybe all my others. You need to learn that skill. And then you need to start becoming more self-reliant and interdependent versus dependent. We just saw energy bills. How much did energy bills go up since COVID? They've gone 50%. Is it more than that?
Oh, my mom, not very. She does not use electricity a lot, so we don't have problems with electricity bill that much. But our clients would have bills of up to 20K from 12K.
Yeah.
So yeah,
It's
and
almost
that's
nothing.
what trigger. Yeah, that's what makes them decide to really go or switch to solar already because it's already.
Yeah, so electricity price is almost double. It's this mindset we got to get out of. It's the get now payment. And it's almost the same thing with car payments and that. Got to flip the script on that. Where do you see the
Jar,
trend of your,
sorry.
no, what do you
Sorry
want?
to cut you off. I just wanted to go back to your train of thought earlier about our education system, like how kids are taught to follow all these rules, right? Because the way I see it, discipline is really important. It's very important. And we're taught that at school. But I believe that we have to also reinforce how and teach our kids how to be leaders, right? Not just followers, because yes, we're able to instill discipline, how they will follow orders or instructions, right? But what's really important in life is how you take charge, right? How do you take charge of things? How do you take charge of your life? And that's, I think, what's missing in our education system, how to be a leader. How do you become a leader of your own life?
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. A leader of your own life. A lot of people I quote a lot, most people are walking around with their umbilical cord hanging out, looking for someone to plug it into. Like they don't know what to do for themselves. Of course, we all need each other. We all need mentors and
Yes.
role models. But some people are completely clueless, and that can be a dangerous place to be. Where do you see the future trends of your industry? Is solar going away? Is it going to disappear? Are we going to all of a sudden be back to having diesel generators, try to run our house off gas? What do you think?
I believe solar is here to stay, and I really see people being independent, being energy independent, because at the moment it's really ridiculous, right? Why we pay such high amount a provider when we can generate our own energy, right? So I believe it's here to stay, and there are just like new technologies to make it better and better. To me, you won't get it wrong with transitioning to solar energy. Yeah, especially now the prices of getting a solar system has been reduced significantly. So I think this is the best time to go solar. The products and installation fees are much, much reduced or lower
Cheaper.
now. Yeah, much, much cheaper.
Yeah, I love it. That's why I say I hope we're entering a new golden age, where whether it's for preventing climate change, or whether if it's just to combat the rising cost of living, or whether it's just to provide better self-sufficiency, I think we're headed in the right direction. And I'm with you on that. I'm very excited about the future that way. Now, so you say solar's here to stay. Do you see? Oh, okay, solar's here to stay. What stops people from getting involved with solar?
I believe it's the unfamiliarity. A lot of people are still not educated about the benefits of solar and how easy it is. Naturally, people be comfortable in what they're used to. So if they're used to getting the energy from a provider, then there's no compelling reason to change. I'm comfortable here, so why change, right? But if there are more people, if we can get more people and businesses to adopt solar energy, then I'm pretty sure that we can scale the growth of solar energy, especially here in the Philippines. We have a lot of remote areas where light is essential, and it's not there, right?
Yeah, 100%. Rurally, and even not rurally, everybody's got a day. Unless you're way up north and they've got months of winter or of dark because the sun, like Alaska or something like that. If you have sunlight, you've got free power. I think that's really powerful.
And imagine how powerless you can feel without electricity. Like sometimes it's not normal that we don't have electricity, but during typhoons and there's no electricity, it's hard to move around. Okay, what do I do? You feel powerless.
Yeah.
So with solar energy, you won't have to worry about that, especially if you have a storage system like a battery.
And I think in a lot of ways, like people don't realize this, there's no second world. It's always first world, third world. And a lot of that has been because of colonialism. And I think what's happening right now is an evening out of the worlds, because I had a call with a client that's in Texas. This client is very well to do. They're living in Texas in the United States, first world country. They went 13 hours without power for whatever reason. This guy is thinking about solar just for that. Like, why? If I'm living in this nice house, I have a good income, very good compared to the average person, the average American, and I'm living in Texas, I'm in a first world country, why am I in a sweater and a hat? Because I don't have power. What is going on here? Just again, it comes back to, I think humanity has to do better and think smarter right now. And I think that's really powerful. So what are some of the approaches you're taking? What's your strategy to grow your business right now?
I'd like to leverage really on partnerships and building communities. We partner with different solar companies to really scale the adoption of renewable energy. Because the way I see it, collaboration is always better than competition. We can always reach our goals faster, helping each other.
So what does that look like? Can you give me an example?
For example, if we have like clients in, let's say, in Mindanao, the goal is really to partner with solar reputable solar companies in Mindanao so that we don't have to fly our team there, which would cost airplane tickets and all that stuff. When we have subject matter experts or technical experts in the area that we can partner with, then everything would be easier. And it's also cheaper for the client because we don't have to add those incremental charges.
I love that. I love that. I love that. I love that. And the other part that I love is that it's social entrepreneurship, that it's you're making money by helping people. And I think right now people are sick of the parasitic industries that make money by hurting people or even lying to people. And we're not selling cigarettes when we know that they kill people. You're really trying to help empower people and develop, empower communities and help them become more independent. There's all sorts of studies. There's no debate. As the energy supply increases, the quality of life and things like excess mortality go down as well. So there's a direct connection between improving someone's quality of life and access to cheap energy. So, Fernalyn, this has been a great interview. Is there anything I haven't asked you about that I should have asked you about?
I can't think of anything. We've talked about the importance of community and support systems, the impact of solar, overcoming challenges. Yeah, I can't think of anything right now, but feel free to ask.
If people want to get in touch, if they have questions, if they want to know or talk shop with you about the sustainability industry, or if they're interested perhaps in solar or getting involved in the industry or getting solar for their homes, what are some of the best ways for them to get in touch?
You can find me in LinkedIn, Fernaline Rosawan. But by the way, you can call me Fern. I'm not used to people calling me Fernaline anymore. But it doesn't matter. We're just trying, just mentioning it here. So you can connect with me in LinkedIn. You can also find our Facebook page, the Greenlight Project. That's why it's the Greenlight Project. So follow and share the page. And if you were interested to learn about solar technology, feel free to contact me via WhatsApp. Also, my WhatsApp is on our Facebook page. You can find it there.
Perfect. So you can go to LinkedIn. You can do a search for Fernalyn Rose Sawal, Fernalyn Rose, Rose, last name Sawal, Sawal. You can also just Google or go to Facebook and look up the Greenlight Project Solar Philippines. You can find her there and you can get contact information, reach out, get involved, get yourself energy self-sufficient, get your community energy self-sufficient. It is definitely the way of the future. I think food prices are going to keep going up. I think the cost of electricity is going to keep going up. And I think the smart people are seeing the writing on the wall right now, and they're jumping in with both feet on becoming energy independent, collecting rainwater, setting up small subsistence crops, small gardens. It doesn't have to be a big operation. I just think that this is really about basic fundamental life skills and just better safe than sorry. I think a lot of people have woken up. Fern, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been an honor and a pleasure. I know you've got your own direct reports, your own followers, your own kids to take care of. So thank you for coming and sharing with my audience and I so we can all do a little bit better.
Yes, thank you too, Daryl. And I just wanted to share with all business owners, especially women like me, to just hold that vision. If you have a vision for yourself, for your family, or for whoever, just never give up on your vision, no matter how tough it gets. I know it can be really challenging, but your dreams are always worth the effort. And just remember to truly enjoy the harvest. You must first invest, right? Because again, how will you enjoy the harvest that you did not work hard on, right? So invest, give your best, and enjoy the process.
Oh, so I like that. That's good. Fern, thank you so much.
Thank you too, Daryl. I appreciate what you do, empowering all the leaders and business owners who'd like to be in charge in their life and in their careers.
Yeah, thank you. I know we're taking a long goodbye here, but I think that's the way forward. I really think before we had small business owners, it was kings and peasants. And I think that right now, after COVID, we just saw the world take massive steps back towards that. And I think the way to combat that and improve the quality of life and the standard of living is to empower more people, to learn how to and connect more people outside of censorship and all that stuff. So that's why I appreciate your time, your candidness, and for sharing.
Yes, thank you. Thank you too, Daryl. I appreciate your time as well. And I hope your audience also learned something from this conversation. And feel free to contact me anytime.